Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday morning. It's the 14th of January. Very nice to have you with us. A very, very cold morning all the way around. And wherever you are, whether it's zero or it's 10 below or it's 2 degrees, it's still cold.
Yeah.
That's the sum and substance of it. And the Albany temperature going into the forecast, Raymond?
4 below zero.
4 below zero. It's very cold.
Yeah.
So we want to warm your hearts, your souls, and your minds
really,
this morning as you join us for the next hour. And we talk about a wide range of issues. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. First and foremost, Dr. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It was 6 below when I got into the car this morning.
Yeah, you know, when I got into the car, it was in the garage, and it was 2 below.
Oh.
And then when we started to go down the hill, it became 13 below. I was like,
"Whoa, that's close. Cold up there.
Cold." That's not political. Consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning. I'm warm.
Good.
That's really all that matters.
I'm glad. I know you to be a warm human being.
You have your I Love New York winter hat.
I have my. I do, and I have a long sleeved.
Perfect.
Silky L.L. Bean kind of winter underwear shirt.
It's all about layers.
Yeah, it is all about layering. Yeah. That's absolutely
because
right.
Because I'm going to Jamestown today.
Oh, well, that'll
and
be balmy.
If you want cold, that's cold.
Yeah. We'll find out. I'll look up the temperature in Jamestown, find out what it is for you. And Ray Graff is with us. Good morning, Raymond. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. I wish I believed you. Now let's go to the stories that we have to talk about. And obviously, for the last week and a half, we've been talking about the tragedy in Paris. We've been talking about the shooting and the aftermath. And today, the story that is on the front cover of most newspapers around the world is that Charlie Hebdo, with the publication that was attacked in Paris, is publishing and has published their new version today, which is fueling a debate on free speech, causing great concerns as to some sort of reprisal, another attack. Immediately upon unveiling its new cover, a depiction of Muhammad, the French satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo on Tuesday reignited the debate pitting free speech against religious sensitivities that has embroiled Europe since 12 people were killed during an attack on its Paris offices by Muslim extremists a week ago. The cover shows the bearded prophet shedding a tear and holding up a sign saying, "I am Charlie," the rallying cry that has become synonymous with support of the newspaper and free expression. Above the cartoon on a green background is the headline, "All is Forgiven." Let us begin there as to, you know, obviously the editors are explaining the cover, they're talking about it, and but with that, you have that very fine balance of you want to show, yes, we're going to continue doing what we were doing, but by the same tokens, there are great sensitivities and concerns about further loss of life. Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm torn on this one. On the one hand, freedom of speech is terribly important, and we can't allow thugs and heinous criminals to deter us from printing anything, what we want. On the other hand, as I said yesterday, I believe, I'm a Jew, and I don't want cartoons with Jews with long noses coming out as they did in the Hitler times. And we are now facing what's a good idea? I mean, the New York Times doesn't print this kind of stuff for good reason, mm-hmm. because they know it's insulting. And shouldn't be done. I know that too. So on the one hand, we're all fighting for freedom of the press, and we believe in it. And that's why all the millions of people show up. And that's why when the newspaper this morning put out 3 million copies, they were immediately sold out, and 2 million more were being printed to be put onto the newsstand, because I think that the principle that we're all fighting for is so important. On the other hand, as I say, I have some real problems with insulting a religion or a group of people.
The thing is I'm not so sure that this insults every single Muslim out there. I think it insults, it's being used as a reason for terrorism. I, too, don't want there to be negative depictions of gays and lesbians, of Jews, of people of color, of any religious icon. You know, Jews don't make any pretense about what God looks like. There's no engraven images.
But we sure as heck don't like it when somebody does anything that we construe as anti-Semitic.
This is true, and I don't want that to happen either. But there is this balancing act between freedom of the press and responsibility to the people you're serving and to your staff. We saw what happened. 12 people were killed. Will this incite more violence? I don't know the answer, you know, but will this incite more violence? Is this the most responsible thing to do given everything? Will this just keep the terrorists going? I mean, the problem is that the terrorists are going to keep going regardless. They'll find something else to shoot people up about. So, you know, I don't particularly think it was the best thing to do. I understand why they did it. We have to protect freedom of press. But like the New York Times, we need to have some discretion.
Libby, let me just deal with your business about not all Muslims.
Let's just deal with you first.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, let's just
not
bring,
all Muslims are shooting up.
Yes, but let's bring it home to us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, since I am Jewish and since I would be very insulted were somebody to put a Jewish icon on and say basically that this is the way, you know, imply this is the way all Jews are. So if Muhammad is, you know, in portrayed with a bomb, mm-hmm, on his head. This is truly in the same way I would be insulted if it were an anti-Semitic image. I don't get that. I know that that's the defense. The BBC had a wonderful program about 3:30 this morning, maybe 4 o'clock, with the guy, the Danish guy, who had commissioned the first thing that
right.
was done. You know, and his line was your line, which is, we're not insulting all Muslims. We're, you know, he may be insulting some who would do this stuff, but if you did that to you know, Moses or somebody and showed it in this way, I think you would not be happy.
No, I wouldn't be happy, but I wouldn't go shooting up people.
No, that's correct.
Okay, the difference there. I wouldn't be happy, but. You know, my thing is, when we abridge people's freedom of speech, the first people they're going to come after is us. So, you know, I would not be happy. I have spoken out, as you well know, against anti-Semitism and what goes on. I just think that I don't agree with them putting the image on the cover again because
on
I think
this
it's
an issue.
It's insightful. It will incite more things and it puts public safety at risk. But on the other hand, I really feel these folks will find something else to bomb
right.
us about.
But you know, the Danish group, what they did was not to republish these pictures that are in Charlie. And the reason for that, they think, is they have to protect their staff and the lives of the people, which is pretty consistent with what you're saying.
Right.
But then we don't have to go far than to the Brooklyn Museum, you know, and see the insult that was caused to Christ and to other Christian figures. What happens is that people spoke out, and they should have spoken out if they felt that way about it, but they didn't kill anybody.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Nobody's being killed. And we, you know, the issue here is where, you know, the folks, the Danish folks did this out of fear, made their decision from a position of fear because they were afraid of what would happen. And I get that. And I'm not saying they made the wrong decision. It's just really disappointing that that's where we are now.
I agree with you, Libby, that because I agree, I understand why the magazine chose to go this route. However, given the sensitivities, I certainly think, and even if you don't go through the sensitivities, I would have thought, if you had asked me 5 days ago of what would have been on the cover, I thought it would be an honor to those who were slain.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that would have been the cover mm-hmm. of the magazine. And that to me would have been a much more telling reminder of what happened, as opposed to yet again, you know, sort of showing some bombast in yeah. what you're doing. But so I was surprised that, I mean, we look at, I know I realize that this is somewhat of an apples and oranges comparison, but after 9/11 in New Yorker, which is pretty much the only magazine that we have that would do that type of mm-hmm. cover, had the famous Art Spiegelman cover, which was black with just this slightly right. glossed of the two towers. You know, and I know there was great, you know, there was mm-hmm. There's been controversy over New Yorker covers and, right. and Muslims and so forth. So I mean, this certainly has been an issue here as well. But again, no one's being killed. But also, it just seems like with a fresh wound, that especially when you're involving the death of your coworkers, that you honor them first. But
well, maybe they think that they're honoring their coworkers by doing this, by maybe. Saying, you know what, mm-hmm. this maybe. Is what they stood for, and this is what
maybe.
They were all about, like it or not, for all of us in the room, whether we appreciate them for perhaps going over the line or not. But maybe they're saying, this is the way we honor them. We don't back down.
You know, Ray, motivation is always tough to get to. We can, you know, that's a very good suggestion. It's a possibility that that's what happened. They also sold 5 million copies of their yeah. newspaper this morning.
Well, no kidding.
You know, all of a sudden, they're on everybody's lips, and they're saying, we'll have some more of this. Maybe. I don't know. On the BBC program this morning, which was just fascinating, the Danish guy was basically saying he's married to somebody who grew up in the Soviet Union. And he said she knows all about what freedom of the press is. And how important it is. And she was angry because they wouldn't the wife of the editor was angry because the Danish paper wouldn't reprint the Charlie stuff.
And lost in all this, not lost, but certainly no answer has been given. Where does the line get crossed of common sense? And in fact, where a majority of Muslims find this depiction of the Prophet to be blasphemy? So at what point does free speech have to intersect with common sense, and at what point does it become censorship? And no one that I've heard in the last week has given me an answer on that.
Well, wasn't it Potter Stewart who said, I know it when I see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And common sense is a personal judgment call. At all, almost all the time.
So is funny. And was this funny?
That's right. Well, yeah, well, I'm not saying that this was right.
I'm not saying it was wrong. Don't get me wrong. Right. But I'm saying we have not.
No, we don't know where the line is between right. freedom of speech and hate speech.
And responsibility.
Yes. In some places, there are countries which say if you do an anti-Semitic cartoon,
right,
you are breaking the law.
And in France.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
In France. Right.
Exactly. Joyce, our friend Joyce, just wrote us and said, hey, guys, just let's remember this is satire. Well, you know, anything could be mm-hmm. called satire.
Yeah, well, they could have called, you know, Himmler's stuff satire, but they didn't. They called it propaganda.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and then we'll do a quick recap before we go to the news. We'll be back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Albany Symphony, presenting Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony No. 3 with percussionist Colin Curry performing Julia Wolfe's Rise and Fly Concerto this Saturday at the Palace Theater, albanysymphony.com. And Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more, paradisecopies.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our discussion. We are talking about the Paris tragedy and the republication of Charlie Hebdo and the new The new edition that is on stands sold out across Europe, and as Alan mentioned, millions of copies sold. We will continue our conversation after our news break, but before we do that, we'll get a few letters.
A couple of letters. Folks, OMG, listening to you all this morning, the terrorists have already, in capital letters, gotten in your heads. 3 million copies sold out in Paris. It was published in 5 languages. The proceeds is to go to all the families who were gunned down. Regardless of one's own personal taste philosophy, supporting this paper by purchasing a copy establishes... Whoa, what happened here? I am so sorry. I want to apologize to everybody. But it seems to have disappeared.
Okay.
Oops. You must have hit the trash can.
Regardless of one's own personal taste, philosophy, supporting this paper by purchasing a copy establishes a solidarity with the ideal of free speech. It is easy when the subject... it's easy when the subject us harmless.
Okay. And then Islam. After a recent unusual snowfall in Saudi Arabia, some people built snowmen. A Saudi religious leader has condemned this as being contrary to the Quran. How do you deal with people like this? I don't get that one.
Time for one more.
I just saw a copy of the latest issue of Charlie Hebdo sell on eBay for $600. Wow, Matt in Rhinebeck.
We love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this short break from the BBC. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable discussion. Very nice to have you with us. We welcome your comments, your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok is here. And Alan, you want to do a few more letters and then we'll get into...
If that's what you would like, I'll be delighted to. So from Jason, my understanding is that according to Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad should never be depicted, positive or negative. It is a depiction itself that is offensive. Great show, says Jason. And Joan says, Ray is the only unbiased voice on your show today, using reason and not giving in to terrorists. Also, I'm sorry, but religion should not be given a free ride to criticism, no matter how badly it is done. And we did that one. And Scott says, the satire, these folks were button-pushing cartoonists, no different than the Family Guy. And I'm not going to read the rest of it because it's too long.
Says he can name a dozen clips from Family Guy that and I find offensive and hilarious, which I agree with.
Yeah, I do agree with that, yes.
Jay says there is a fine line between thought-provoking and just plain provoking. The former is what free speech is about. The latter is simply social responsibility. And Dick says, your discussion this morning focuses on how bad it is for Charlie Hebdo to print things that are offensive. Sorry, this is not the time for that. Now is the time to ensure that we do not step back from permitting all viewpoints, those that are offensive without much value, and those that sometimes lead us to enlightenment. Sure, the New York Times would not print that, but when the right to print offensive things is challenged so brutally, this is not the time to crab about the some who may do a poor job of exercising free speech. And Man of Peace writes, of course, there is no justification for shooting the staff at Charlie Hebdo. However, it should be remembered that Charlie Hebdo in France is on the level of the National Enquirer magazine in the United States. Nothing they print is to be taken seriously by anyone. And Julius, our friend, says times change, usually very, very slowly. Don't forget what the Roman Catholic Inquisition did to Galileo many years ago for publishing the truth. Well, Julius, my only issue is whether this is the truth.
Right. And Galileo was a lousy cartoonist as well.
He had some other talents, though, yeah, don't you think?
He was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. He was fine. But he paid for it, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
We did those. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Other news. Republican Representative Randy Weber apologized Tuesday for comparing President Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler in a tweet related to the Paris terrorist attacks. Congressional Democrats and Jewish groups had denounced the comment Weber sent on his official Twitter account Monday night. I need to first apologize to all those offended by my tweet, the Texas congressman said in a written statement, which he also tweeted. It was not my intention to trivialize the Holocaust, nor to compare the president to Adolf Hitler. However, this is what the tweet said. Even Adolf Hitler thought it more important than Obama to get to Paris, for all the wrong reasons, in
quote, parentheses.
Parenthetically. Thank you. And Obama couldn't do it for the right reasons, end quote.
It's not even funny.
No, I don't know that it was intended to be. Do you think it was?
It just doesn't make any sense.
So the real question is, what's going on? And as we've been discussing, there are people in some of these congressional districts who know that there's always somebody who wants to outdo them in hating Obama, for example. So you say something. Now, as Pete wrote, oh, when will they ever learn? Because this is not the first time somebody has invoked this kind of image that is so off the wall. It isn't as if this guy could be so stupid that he doesn't know what the reaction is going to be.
Right.
But he does it anyway, and then comes the apology.
But doesn't it seem like if you were a person, especially who is voted to get into, voted on to get into office, that you would assume that in 140 characters, that if you put the words Hitler and Obama together in saying that there are similarities, that exactly what you just said, Alan, that you're not going to create a firestorm? Like, I don't understand how you even think that is going to work to your favor.
Well.
In any way, shape, or form.
Well, I just told you what I thought. I think that what happens is that they have demonized Obama to the point where they're
trying to outdo each other.
That's right. They're competing with each other. That's all there is to it.
Well, my first initial response was, well, another Texas village is missing its idiot. I don't think he realized what he did. I think these people.
You think he's stupid?
Yeah, I think these people, and Steve Scalise is another one. You know, the guy from Louisiana. I think they think that it's totally okay to say whatever they have to say about the president, regardless of the impact it'll have. He doesn't care about. He probably doesn't think about the Holocaust. He doesn't think about the impact talking about the Holocaust has on people, because in his little world, in his little district, in his little part of Texas, there probably aren't many Jews to insult. And he probably thinks that everybody else is Christian, and that's just the way it is. And that's the way people think. And this guy, and he got elected. Let's not forget, people elected him. And his constituents support him. And he's not the brightest bulb in the box. I mean, he didn't even spell Adolf's name correct.
He wouldn't be the first one.
No kidding.
Yeah. No. But look, you know that the number one thing that I think I'm right about this, that sells more books than anything else, is the mention of the word Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the personification of evil. And they have been doing this again and again with Obama, trying to make him out to be an evil person, which he is not.
Right.
Not even close. So the idea that he would do this, whether there are Jews in the district or whether there aren't, is just so intuitive, self-serving, that he does it. And then OMG, as we are hearing this morning, I guess I did a bad thing. I'll apologize.
Yeah, sorry. And it's a hollow apology.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that we were talking about apologies yesterday, but it does seem like a very hollow apology when you say that I'm sorry if you took what I said.
Oh, they always say that.
Yeah.
That's
it's not
always
like
the
I'm
one.
Sorry for what I said and I grossly mischaracterized
the president. He really isn't Hitler. He's more like Mussolini.
It was
perhaps.
Not my intention to trivialize the Holocaust, nor to compare the president to Adolf Hitler. And by the way, in the second one, it was spelled correctly. But he check spell check
some,
that time.
Some good staff member.
Yeah, that's right.
Came up
well, at least he knew that Hitler went to Paris for all the wrong reasons. You have to give him that much.
The one thing I was looking for, which I did not immediately find, and maybe you do, was there any official word from the White House? Was there any comment?
No, they said no. They asked the press secretary whether they had anything to say, and they said nope.
Nope.
Okay.
Which was the right thing to do.
Josh Ernst says, I don't have anything to say.
Let's move on to one other topic before we go to a break, and that is cybersecurity. The president announced yesterday what had been talked about earlier over the weekend and earlier in the week, called on Congress to pass broad legislation to bolster cybersecurity across the U.S. government and private industry, working to capitalize on concern about recent high-profile computer breaches to counter an escalating threat. The proposal, which would be subject to approval by Congress, would increase the prosecution of crimes conducted through computer networks and toughen penalties for them. It would also shield from liability companies that share information with the government about computer threats, a key point of contention that has hamstrung the president's past efforts to push through cybersecurity improvements. So how do you get over that one?
I don't know, but I'm for it. I can tell you that much. I mean, I think this is where the next big war is going to be fought, and it's going to be fought in cyberspace. But like everything else that we've been talking about here day after day, with the need to do this comes the potential for abuse. And there will be abuse. There will be government agencies, you know, that read your stuff and that will use it for whatever reason they want to use it for. And we have seen that. And then maybe, as in the case of Ryzen in the New York Times, they'll pull back.
I think I'm all for this, too. I think we need to do something. People's personal financial security is at risk. There's no two ways about it. And it's like all the science fiction we read as kids has come true.
Yeah, but it isn't only. I know you want to say something right here, and I look forward to it.
Oh, really?
I look forward
to what you're going to say.
No, I do. But we just have to know that in crafting the legislation, we better do it right. Otherwise, it's one more step towards fascism.
Well, what will happen is all the special interests will have their say, and it probably won't be crafted correctly.
Well,
the states' rights people will tell you that part of what the president will advance in the state of the state is leading to a more federal control, state of the union, pardon me, federal control of the internet, which some people will find terrifying. So there are, I think, 19 states where the feds want to say your rules on broadband are going to be superseded by our rules.
Sure.
Whether or not that's a good thing practically and for the people on the ground is one thing. In the future, federal control is another thing that the 10th Amendment folks will say, hold the phone here.
Yeah. Well, let me just say that as a student of constitutional law, taken a number of courses in the area.
You and the president.
Life, yeah. I have to tell you that in the end, when the test comes between the national need versus the state's rights. In this case, I mean, there are cases and the Supreme Court will go for protecting states' rights, but not in this case. They're not going to do it. They're going to say, because remember, Obama will not be the last president of the United States.
That's right.
There will be there'll be Republicans who win the office. And that's when, you know, you never know where the damage is going to get done. No, the courts will support it.
We will go and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. It's our roundtable panel this morning. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this break.
Support for WAMC comes from Liberty Fresh Market, Amsterdam, New York, a market supporting individuals with developmental disabilities in the workplace, a market with a mission, on Facebook and libertyfresh.com. And the Warner Theater, Torrington, Connecticut, presenting the MOMIX 35th Anniversary, a celebration of company favorites. Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m., warnertheater.org for tickets.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. We have Alan Chartok here, Ray Graff, and Libby Post. A reminder that we mentioned this yesterday, but Hugh Johnson will be joining us. We're going to extend the panel portion this morning, as we do on occasion, and have a debrief with Hugh Johnson, who is, let's say, the go-to guy when it comes to economic and money issues.
We're lucky to have him here, but he is the national guy. You hear him on NPR. You hear him on virtually every...
Across the globe.
Yeah, everywhere. He's a terrific mind.
He's the dude. And he'll be joining us. We're going to talk about gas prices, the plummeting oil and gasoline prices, what impact that will have on us.
I'm going to ask him to explain why it's happening.
That's right.
There are a lot of theories.
It's brilliant. Yeah. The Saudis are brilliant. Yeah.
And also, he'll talk about, because one of his main points is that there are real trade-offs. So we will we'll talk about that with Hugh Johnson coming up right after the top of the hour. Just a reminder about that. Again, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go to other issues. Actually, Alan, let me read a couple of the letters that we got regarding the president and the Hitler tweet.
Okay, I'm doing my best to try to, because you see, there will be people who have no patience with me. But here's what happens: you get all of the emails, and then you have to pick out.
You get them real time, and you have to edit on the fly.
And then you have to do that, and that's not so
easy. No, it's not easy.
And
we feel your pain, man. We feel your pain.
Okay, so. Tom says, these idiots know exactly what they're saying is objectionable, and they don't care, as long as they put President Obama in a bad light, which plays to their base. I happen to agree with that. I don't always agree with Tom, but I agree with that. Julia says, I should have said for publishing the truth as opposed to a possibly offensive slur, but I thought the implication would follow. Sorry, that was from Jules. I'm not really... absolutely sure.
Talking about Galileo.
And
then there's a lot. Oh, and James says, "Why are these stupid people still in power?"
The question of the century.
Well, no, it really is Pogo. That's what it is, and it is us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you want more? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. One or two.
There seems to be some mix on the panel.
Maybe.
That. We have issues to talk about. If you want to do that.
Let's talk issues. Okay. Because much of the mail this morning is about Hebdo.
And we've been there and we've basically done the thing. Okay. So let us... let us move on then and talk about other things. And I do want to get to Boko Haram in a minute. I want to quickly talk about the Obama administration and their move using executive authority once again to this time to tackle climate change. White House officials on Wednesday announced plans to impose new regulations on the oil and gas industry's emissions of methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. The administration's goal is to cut methane emissions from oil and gas production by up to 45% by 2025 from the levels recorded in 2012. The EPA will issue the proposed regulations this summer and final regulations by 2016.
Yeah. Well, we know methane is bad. We have our own methane problem right here at WAMC. But
really? Well, you've been pretty good today.
Yeah. No, but it's a very important thing to do. And he's right. Why should he not do it? You know, if it is affecting the greenhouse situation, and we know it is, why not? And by the way, there's a big part of fracking that came back to methane also in the argument. But why not do it while you're president and while you have the ability to do it? Jeb Bush is probably not going to do it.
I just want to read the comment from the oil and gas industry, pushing back against methane regulations, insisting that new rules could stymie a booming industry and that voluntary industry-wide standards are sufficient to prevent methane leaks.
They always say that. That's exactly what they always say. Existing standards.
We are already taking care of it, so not to worry.
On any issue, you name an issue where there is progress, where there's green, they're always going to say, you know, we've already taken care of that.
Right.
You don't need a regulation when we're voluntarily taking care of the problem.
Right. Right.
You know, it's. I was driving in thinking about.
And then
these
I want to
stories.
Tell you about the bridge I want to sell you.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah. Right. And it's across the river. It's across the Hudson, a little south from here. You know, only the stanchions are up. But anyway, driving in this morning, I was thinking about these stories and the way the
president. You think
president,
about this stuff driving in?
I do.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing, right?
We learned something from Ray.
And Alan.
And the other and how he's rolling out the state of the state.
Yes.
And the high profile issues he's talking about. He's basically laying out over the next 2 years the rhetoric and campaign of the Democrats in Congress to be able to take back both the Senate and the House in 2016. He's highlighting the issues that they're going to be focusing on. This is what I'm thinking of. And giving them the platforms from which to speak about these issues moving into the next election cycle.
Well, in some cases, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you talk about women, and we're talking about getting groups out
and the environment.
And Hispanics mm-hmm. in order to
so immigration,
to, immigration
choice
yeah, right. On the other hand, you know, I like this guy Obama, and mm-hmm. I think what he's doing now may have been in the may have come up because I think Michelle is a wise lady, a first lady, probably the best we've ever had, and I think. Probably there is this other thing called doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not only what's political, but doing what's right. If you're going to be president for 8 years and you have a chance, knowing that the world faces this incredible environmental crisis, well, you know, yeah, you could do it because it's political. But more importantly, you could do it because you may be contributing to saving humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, both things are going on here. And he's lame duck. He knows it. And he doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. And he can just do what he wants to do and fulfill some of the items on his agenda in the way that he can do it. And that's through regulation.
Now, you may be a little inconsistent here, Olivia. I hate to say this.
Inconsistent?
Yeah, well, because on the one hand, you say he's laying out the political agenda.
But
and on
he
the
is.
Other hand, you say he's a lame duck. He doesn't care what anybody says.
No. He doesn't care what anybody says about him. But he's helping to lay out the political agenda for the future. That's different. Those are two different things. That's not being inconsistent.
Well, you're still being a political animal if, in fact, you're setting out your party's political goals.
Right.
You're not being entirely altruistic.
Libby, I'm sorry if you took it that way.
For once, you and I are on exactly the same page, Alan.
I'm not being altruistic? No, I'm not. No, not to worry. I don't really, you know, I don't really care. So it's fine. Whatever. I love you. You love me. That's all that matters. And we move on.
That's lovely. When it comes to, you know, even, and I know we may be getting into a larger issue here, but, you know, even when we're talking about you work on this kind of stuff and it doesn't even really get enacted. You know, if everything goes right, you don't even start enacting this stuff until 2016. And from everything that we've heard, from everything you listen to, from every report that we have from the UN down, time's ticking.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Right.
And that's what's scary.
You bet. But we don't have to worry because the oil companies, the other stuff,
they've
got it all taken care of.
We got you, babe. Not to worry. We don't care if you can't breathe, just as long as you can drive. That's really it.
I mean, and look, and it's not left-right stuff or authoritarian enough because the Chinese have a worse problem than we do. And they are basically refusing to move any faster than they want to,
mm-hmm.
so that their economic agenda is more important than the fact that people are walking around wearing masks and can't breathe in their own society. That's huge.
It is.
We, I guess you take these steps, and I think one of the keys here is that, again, we're going through the president's legislative action. So what do you think will become of it? Because he's just sort of forging ahead, realizing that he's not going to get the legislative approval.
Well, here we get to the earlier Libby plan, which is
pre-920 Libby.
Oh, I'm so glad to be the bellwether here.
The earlier Libby, which is to say – He is setting things up for the political agenda for the future. So whether they do nothing, if they do nothing, and if the word gets out and people begin to appreciate that they have children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, and that these people are going to suffer and have emphysema and do all of these things because these people are putting a stop to this, mm-hmm. so that we can't move forward and do something to clean up the world and the environment, that, of course, helps the Democratic agenda. If the Democrats, by the way, are consistent in wanting to do what they say they're wanting to do. Yeah.
We certainly welcome your comments, and we will continue. It's roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We're going to press the pause button for a second, go to a news update after our billboard and a few underwriting announcements, and then when we come back, we'll have a debrief with Hugh Johnson to talk about plummeting gas prices, why it's happening, what it means, and we'll have a debrief with Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors coming up in our next hour on the Roundtable.